The big search. Searching for answers. There are some mysteries in life, aren't there? I think of ancient mysteries. Often even today, people are still asking the question, what happened to the Ark of the Covenant? And many expeditions have been financed and conducted in order to find the answer to that one. And there are some not so ancient mysteries, a bit closer to home, trying to work out the identity of the Whitechapel murderer known as Jack the Ripper. How many candidates have been put up for that identity? Mystery. More recent mysteries. The very sad and perplexing mystery that hasn't yet been solved to any great satisfaction. The disappearance of little Madeleine McCann. And when we think of the time, the effort, the drive, the quest, the undying curiosity for all of these searches, all of these big searches, searching for answers, it makes us think about perhaps ourselves and what we're searching for. It may be answers. It may be change. Perhaps you're one of those who want to see change on a huge scale. That's a big search. Globally, you're maybe thinking of the quest to search for world peace, climate change. Or maybe nationally, you're looking for a more equal society. You're looking for better leadership. Searching for answers, searching for change. All of these can be big searches. Or perhaps you're searching for fulfillment. Think of that sports person who's looking for that medal, that trophy. Or perhaps there's the team and they're looking for that player or that manager who's just going to make such a difference. Think of searching for fulfillment on an individual level. Love. Happiness, security, wealth, status, feeding the ego. Big searches. Or perhaps it's searching for a cure. Cancer hasn't gone away, you know, even though all of our eyes are on coronavirus at the minute. And the search is on for a vaccine. That's a big search. That's a huge search. That seems to be the one search at the minute, isn't it? Billions of pounds are being thrown at the worldwide effort to produce a vaccine. The big search for a vaccine. Of course, when we think about these searches, we can think that they're all important. But what about the search for God? You know, many people, when it comes to the biggest search, searching for God, they're searching in the dark. I remember hearing from friends in the last church about a humorous illustration. In their early marriage, they just married and they had put their house together and everything was looking very well. But one day, the farmer's wife decided that she was unhappy with the layout of the bedroom. So she changed it all around and in due course they both went to sleep that night. Now he was aware that he had a cow that was about to calve, and whenever the alert was given, he got up in the dark. He didn't want to put on the light to waken his wife. So he got up in the dark, forgetting that she had changed the furniture all around. And he was feeling round all the walls, looking not only for the door, but also for the light switch. And she had a little chuckle whenever she realised what was going on. Searching in the dark. How hard that is. It's a different story when you're in the light. But it is a difficult thing, searching in the dark. And the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts came across a whole city of people that were searching in the dark. We read this account in Acts chapter 17. And it gives us a picture of religion at the time, very especially at the place called Athens. And Paul records that the Greeks there seem to spend all of their time and nothing else but listening to the greatest idea, the greatest notion, the greatest fad. And they just wanted to always, it would seem, follow the next big thing that came along. There was a place that had two names. Mars Hill was the Roman name for Mars, the Roman god of war. It was also called the Areopagus because of the Greek god of war called Ares. So you can even see in those two different gods from two different people types, people groups, that there was a problem. And whenever Paul arrived, he says this in Acts 17 and 15, that the whole city was given over to idols. People searching in the dark. And Paul started by reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and then with the Gentiles out in the marketplace. So he went to where people were. And he found in amongst them that there were philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics. And they heard Paul preach about this resurrected Jesus Christ. And obviously, because of the way they wanted to learn more about this new doctrine. So they brought him to that place, the Areopagus, Mars Hill, to hear more from him. I want you to picture that scene, a place where there were many, many shrines. And just think about that. Shrines all over the place, but some of them had fresh flowers and offerings on them, so obviously they were still on trend. Other shrines, less so. You can see that there wasn't so much, or perhaps the things that had been left had wilted, and there wasn't the same enthusiasm for other shrines. And then you would have seen shrines that were completely abandoned. There was no evidence of anyone having visited them. They were maybe even in a state of bad repair. But there was a shrine casting its shadow in that vicinity. And oddly enough, it was ascribed to the unknown God. A shrine to the unknown God. It seems to be that the people, regardless of how many gods they were worshipping, how many idols, how many shrines they had set up, they seemed to be afraid that they hadn't yet discovered the one who they could see on down the line was going to be the one. And just in case they hadn't yet found him, they set up a shrine to the unknown God. And whenever Paul saw that, he seized his opportunity to preach to them about the one they hadn't yet discovered, but also the one who was going to be the end of all their searches. And we read his words in Acts 17 from verse 26. Speaking of the God that he wants to present to them, who has made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, that they should seek the Lord and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So Paul was letting them know that in their quest to find God, God could be found, the real God, the true God, the eternal God, the creator God, the God above all other gods, that he could be found. He desired to be found. He made men in order that they would seek him and find him. The biggest search. But sadly, many are searching in the dark. It's a wonderful thing that there are promises for searchers. Paul wasn't making an idle promise when he used those words that if they should seek the Lord, that he would be found of them. Because Moses stated that back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. But if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. promises for searchers. The Lord himself said through Jeremiah in chapter 29 from verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Promises for searchers. Jesus said, "Seek, and ye shall find," Matthew 7 and 7. He was teaching. And the words he spoke have become known as the Sermon on the Mount. And the subject is true spirituality or spiritual reality. And it's in that context that Jesus says, "Seek, and ye shall find." Can I ask you the question? Have you got reality? Have you found God? It makes me think of one of the many titles that belong to Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Emmanuel, God with us. But also we read of one in Revelation 22 and 13. Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. What a strange description to give to the Son of God. Two letters of the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega. And then the title goes on to be the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And they indeed were the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Today we would, in our English context, say the A to Z. May I suggest to you that the first and last letters of any alphabet should make us think about searching. What do I mean? Well, you open a dictionary. If you had been given a word like absquatulate and you thought, well, what does that mean? Well, you would go to a dictionary and it begins with A, so you'd start at the beginning of the dictionary in the section that begins with A. And you would look it up, you'd discover that it's a verb, absquatulate. It's not to do something in a gym, although you might think that, but it's to leave somewhere abruptly. A to Z. You maybe come across an odd name and you hear someone quote that in a sermon and you think, I must look that up in the Bible. A name perhaps like Mahershala Hashbaz. I think that's the longest name in the Bible. You want to know, who is he? So you go to a concordance. And again, it will be arranged from A to Z. Or perhaps you're still of the era that owns a phone book, and you're trying to find someone's number, and you go through the thick telephone directory. Or, if you're a wee bit more up to date, you open your phone and you go down through your list of contacts. But one thing they both have in common is this, that the numbers and names will be stored alphabetically. The A to Z. To hint, to enable you to search, to assist you in your search. You come to a roll book or register for the names of children at school or at Sunday school. They will be listed A to Z. You go to trace your ancestors in a memorial monument for perhaps to some of the wars or some role of honour within an institution, and you'll discover again they'll be there from A to Z in order to assist you, to help you in your search. A to Z is designed to help searchers. The title of Jesus that he's given as the Alpha and Omega is found in a book that is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ. A book that provides answers for searchers. You know, the Lord is not a God of superstition or guesswork. His plan for mankind is that we would not just know about him, but that we might personally know him. And it's he who has given us this promise. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. The big search. Oh, so many are searching in the dark. But we have promises for searchers. But this big search And some of the big searches we've mentioned are national and global searches. But this big search, the biggest search that anyone can have, is a personal quest, a personal search. We read about one such personal search in John's Gospel and chapter 1. And the way into that chapter from verse 35 to 42, we have the story of the calling of Andrew to be a disciple. Andrew was searching. In John 1:38, we read these words, "Then Jesus turned and saw two of John's disciples following him, and said unto them, What seek ye?" Of course, one of those was Andrew. What seek ye? What has happened? Well, Andrew was already a searcher, and he had come to hear the preaching of John the Baptist. And what I like about the character of John the Baptist was that he pointed to Jesus. He was the one who came before Jesus, and he didn't point people to the temple. He didn't point them to Abraham or to Moses, great as they were. And he certainly didn't point people to himself. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. "There's one coming," was John's message. "He's coming. You need to be ready." And Andrew was listening. And one day, Jesus makes an appearance. He has come. And Andrew has the wonderful privilege of hearing Jesus for himself, and it has a profound effect on him. Can you imagine the scene? A searcher on the big search, and the one he's searching for comes and says, "Follow me." Now, when Jesus said, "Follow me," that idea of following him suggests more than just a literal walking after him, as a detective would follow a criminal. Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." So you can see that there's something greater intended by the use of Jesus, the term used by Jesus, to follow him. John 10. "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice." John 12. "If any man serve me, let him follow me." So again, there's a different idea there. There's something deeper, something greater. There's an imitation of Jesus meant there. Jesus as an example. Jesus speaks to Andrew personally. In John 1:38, and he asks this question: "What are you looking for? What seek ye? What are you looking for?" What a question. Let me ask you that today. What are you looking for? Now, was Andrew serious? Yes, he was. He had been listening to John, and now Jesus appears, and he takes the challenge that Jesus issues, and he begins to follow. And Jesus recognizes this and says, "What are you looking for? What are you searching for?" Now we read that when this conversation took place, that with regard to the time of the day, it was late. Andrew was serious. Andrew followed Jesus and wasn't put off by the lateness of the hour. He was a sincere and serious searcher. Do you remember the promises that God made? "If you search with all your heart." Can I ask you, how hungry are you for the truth? How desperate are you for reality? How disillusioned are you with sham and shallowness of life? I don't know where your search began. I don't know what direction it has taken you. But Jesus is the end of your search. Well, did Andrew find satisfaction in Jesus? I suggest that he did, because he goes and tells his brother, Peter, and uses these words, John 1:41, "We have found him." And Philip's another one, and he goes and tells Nathaniel, his friend, "We have found him." The end of the search. You know, Jesus was interested in Andrew too, and he's interested in you here today. He's interested in you wherever you are. He's interested in you listening to this little message. Jesus is interested. And Jesus has time for the individual. He had time for Andrew. He had time for others that we read of in the Word of God. I think of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a searcher. He was searching for fulfillment through amassing wealth. Now, he did it in a dishonest way. That made him unpopular. So there were things that he lost in life in trying to grasp hold of as much financial gain as he could possibly cope with. He was a tax collector for the Romans. He was searching. But he had no fulfillment, even though he had material advantage. But was he a sincere and serious searcher? Yes, he was. He had made wealth his big search, but it had let him down. However, he met Jesus one day. Jesus had time for him, and Jesus was the end of his search. I think of a woman who had a terrible blood disorder. Jesus had time for her too. She was seeking a cure for an awful life-limiting illness. It had made her, within the Jewish religion, ritually unclean. She had tried everything. Oh, she was sincere. She had spent all that she had, but she had actually become worse. Was she serious? Yes, she was. Of course she was. And then she met Jesus. And Jesus was the end of her search. Jesus also had time for a woman in Samaria, a woman who was at a place called Sychar, and she had gone to the well in the middle of the day. She was a woman who was also a sincere and serious searcher. She'd been searching for fulfillment through relationships, through romantic relationships. She had had 5 failed relationships. So you can't deny that she was serious in her search. But Jesus was the end of her search. He offered her satisfaction in a relationship that goes beyond any human relationship. And she was eager, just like Andrew, to go and tell others and said, "Come see a man." How's your search going? What about the big search? Are you still searching in the dark? Do you realize that there are God-given promises for searchers? In your personal quest, where has that search taken you? Well, do you know, we have a very reliable guide in our search. And God's Word is the most reliable guide. In John 5 and 39, Jesus says, "Search the Scriptures." You looking for me? Search the Scriptures, says Jesus. Why would that be? Well, in Psalm 119, verse 105, we read about what the Scriptures are. They are a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, so that we don't search in darkness. Paul, in that vein, writes in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, speaking of the devil as the god of this world, he says, "He has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And we have the gospel in the Word of God. The gospel's being preached in this message, even now, with the intention of lightening the darkness that searchers are in. In 1 John 5 and 13, we read these words. John says, "These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God." The Bible, what has been written, it's a reliable guide in the big search. And that reliable guide speaks of urgency. Hosea 10 and 12 says this, "It is time to seek the Lord." Proverbs 8 and 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God's word speaks of priority. This reliable guide says this in Matthew 6 and 33. The words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the search for a vaccine for coronavirus, can we see priority being given to that? And rightly so. Oh, that they could find a vaccine. But there's a bigger search. Surely nothing could be more important than finding God. Finding a cure for the sin problem. Finding an escape route from a lost eternity. Finding peace that passes understanding. Finding inexpressible and glorious joy. And we have God's word to help us. It's humanity's most reliable guide. Did you know that in that word we read of people who would search, but they'd be too late? Jesus tells us about this. We read in John 7 and 34. Jesus' sad, sad words to religious, pious men called Pharisees. And he says, ye shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, ye cannot come. And possibly even stronger words in John 8 and 21. I go my way, ye shall seek me, but you'll die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. What was their problem? Well, Jesus was there with them, before them. He had come to them. They were rejecting him. And then there would come a time when they would think about him. But it would be too late. How sad. It's a bit like the bridesmaids in the parable of the five and the foolish, five wise and five foolish that Jesus gave. The five wise had oil when the bridegroom came. They had made preparation, you see. They had oil in their vessels. They weren't caught out. But five bridesmaids had no oil. And the parable was a picture of the types of people who will be present when Jesus returns as the heavenly bridegroom. There will be those who weren't prepared. And they are pictured as the five foolish bridesmaids who, when they discovered their mistake, they then tried to search, but it was too late. What was the result? What was the outcome? Well, those who hadn't prepared and searched when it was too late, they couldn't be where the bridegroom was. In fact, worse still, they were closed out. Searching when it's too late. The big search. The search goes on for vaccines and cures. Think of the years we've been searching for a cure for cancer. Oh, yes, in some cases we can manage the cancer. In other cases we can cut it out. There are times when it can be shrunk and kept at bay for a while, but there's still no cure for cancer. Coronavirus. We're trying to manage it. We can do some things to help to contain it. That's why we have a drive-in church. That's why we have social distancing in our church services. We can even attempt and throw as much as we can at trying to treat those who unfortunately have it, but there's still no cure for it. And big as the search for these cures is, it's not the biggest search in life. Because these searches have so far led to much disappointment. But the biggest search if you search for the Lord with all your heart, will not end in disappointment. You will find God. You will find fulfillment. You will find satisfaction. You will find deep joy. You will find peace. You will find Him. And our message concludes with the words of Hosea 10 and 12 again. It is time to seek the Lord. Amen.